As Judge Samuel Alito prepares for Senate confirmation hearings, nearly every word the Supreme Court nominee has ever written about the law is coming under a microscope. That includes his opinions about the relationship between church and state. As NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, one theme does emerge from Alito's writings. He's not afraid of religion in public life.
It was October 31st, the day that President Bush announced the nomination, and Christian conservatives were rejoicing. Televangelist Pat Robertson devoted the top part of the 700 Club broadcast to a glowing analysis of Samuel Alito's credentials. Then he invited his favorite legal activist to elaborate.
Jay Sekulow is with us now from the American Center for Law and Justice. A smile from ear to ear. Jay, why?
Well, this is everybody's using these baseball analogies, Pat. This is a grand slam.
On issues from school prayer to nativity scenes, Sekulow said, Alito's decisions from the Third Circuit Court of Appeals fall squarely in the conservative camp. Barry Lynn, executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, worries that Alito's record shows a pattern of letting the government entangle itself with religion.
He would uphold public religious displays, religious messages in public schools, and the use of public facilities for evangelism. That's not a healthy sign for those of us who care about the separation of church and state.
So the battle lines are drawn, as is the caricature. But Alito deserves a more nuanced portrayal, says Ira Lupu, an expert on church-state law at George Washington University. Lupu says the central question he asked himself was, how different are Alito's rulings from the justice he would replace, Sandra Day O'Connor? And he says there's not much light between them. Take, for example, the 1999 case of the Jersey City holiday display. The city placed a Jewish menorah and a Christian nativity scene in front of City Hall. A federal district court judge ruled that the government was illegally endorsing religion, so the city added a plastic Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman. On appeal, Lupu says, Judge Alito wrote the majority opinion saying the display was in fact constitutional, using the reasonable observer test crafted in an earlier decision by Justice O'Connor.
And he said, this no longer looks like an endorsement of religion. And I think on that one, he was dead on with where Sandra Day O'Connor would have been in that case at that time.
Ronald Chen, who is now at Rutgers Law School, argued against the nativity scene on behalf of the ACLU. He says the opinion reveals something about Alito's approach.
He wouldn't overrule precedent, but he would use the precedent and steer towards a result that would probably be deemed to be more conservative.
Another Establishment Clause case gives pause to Mark Stern, General Counsel of the American Jewish Congress. In 1994, a six-year-old boy created some ruffles at a New Jersey elementary school when he wanted to read a Bible story for show and tell. The teacher stopped him and the parents sued. The parents eventually lost. In his dissent, Alito accused the school of viewpoint discrimination. Stern says the opinion displays a tin ear for non-Christians.
There's no discussion of the rights of others who are forced to be in the school, forced to listen to the book being read. And that doesn't register at all in Judge Alito's opinion.
But Alito is a hero to some liberals and conservatives when it comes to protecting the rights of people to practice their religion. Stern says the U.S. Supreme Court severely restricted free exercise in 1991 when it said that if a state has a neutral rule, such as a drug law, it doesn't matter if the law bars someone from engaging in religious practices, such as smoking peyote. But Stern says Alito found a way around that restriction in 1999 when he ruled that two Muslim police officers could not be forced to shave their beards because the police force allowed for other exceptions.
This is a very bold reading of the Supreme Court's cases. It's one that those of us who do religious liberty litigation rely on all the time. It's a very helpful opinion, and surely for religious minorities, it's a very helpful opinion.
Supporters of Sam Alito suggest he would bring stability to an area of law that has lurched back and forth, and if passed his prologue, the balance is likely to tip toward a more robust role for religion. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.